Kof Ches Adar Sheni, Thursday the 4th of April. Rabbi Gershon Dunner standing in for Rabbi Malcolm Herman, who we wish a speedy refuah and return to full strength. Chometz Umatzo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everybody.
I want to talk today about a bit about chometz and matzah, about machine matzah, about hand matzah, about all different things. And a lot of people take all these things very personally, so I'm asking everyone please to relax. The Shulchan Aruch in Chelek Hay in Siman Tov Chof Tes starts off. Shoyalin behilchus Pesach koidem lePesach shloshim yom. The minig is that 30 days before Pesach, you start discussing Hilchos Pesach. Now, there are a few makoros for this minute, for this halacha. Gemara in Pesachim, Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah Daf Beis says that it's also to sell to a non-Jew things 3 days before his holiday. And the reason, there's a few reasons mentioned in the Gemara, either because he will use the animal you sell him for a korban, and he will offer it a sacrifice to his avodah zara, and therefore you can't lifnei iver lo sitei mechtol. Even though he's non-Jewish, you cannot help a non-Jew be over avodah. That's one reason. The other reason is because he'll be so happy that he did such successful business with you that he'll be ozol amoideh. He'll go to the avodah zara and say, "Thank you, avodah zara, for allowing me in your zechus to do such great business with this Jew." And therefore, 3 days before, we don't do business with non-Jews. Now, the halacha nowadays might not be the same. Tosfos says that nowadays the goyim are not really, they don't really feel the connection to the Zohar. They just do it because Masa Ovis Bilodehem is, they will try and carry on the grosser Masoira they have from their parents, but not, they're not really, okay. That's what Gemara says. On that, ask the Gemara, what's the 3 day business? Why is it 3 days that you're assuming they're buying an animal for their avodah zarah? There is another brisa that says that someone who's an animal merchant who sells animals to all different people, and he has in his stock mothers and children of the same animals. If you sold the mother to someone, he cannot sell the child to someone on the same day. The reason is because you're going to assume they're going to shecht the Jew buying it, or shecht, we bought it to shecht. And you're going to end up being Oven Issa unknowingly of Osoi Ve'et Benoi. You know, can't check the mother and child on the same day. But the Mishnah says only 4 times a year can you not sell a mother and a daughter on the same day, and a mother and child. And those are the 4 times a year when people go all out to buy food for Yom Tov. They are Erev Sukkot, Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuot. 4 times a year you can't sell Erev Shon. So the question is, after Gemara, there it said, yes. Can't sell a mother and a daughter of the same cow. You can't sell it. So after Gemara, there it says only 1 day you can't sell it for, but 2 days before Rosh Hashanah you could sell it. If people are only busy buying animals for whatever they need on the day before, why in our Mishnah is it 3 days before? As I ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, there's a difference. Here, we're buying it to eat. To buy an animal to eat is not very hard. You go to the butcher, you look for the most choicest animal, and you buy and eat it. Masha Enkein, if you're buying for a korban, you have to make sure it's a kosher korban, all the different dinim, that would require 3 days. Ask the Gemara, is that so? There's another halacha. Shoyalin behilchus ha-pesach koidim ha-pesach shloshim yom. For 30 days, you are supposed to learn hilchus pesach. And the Gemara is assuming the reason is because you're busy trying to get involved in the korban pesach, you need 30 days to make sure you buy the right korban. So we see from there clearly that it takes 30 days, not 3 days. Stira between the Mishnah Avodah Zarah and this halacha of pesach. On that, the Gemara says, note that the difference between a goyish korban and a yiddish korban. A yiddish korban, the hilchas mumin, a blemish which puzzles an animal, are much more complex for yidden than for goyim. And everyone knows the Gemara and Gittin about by the Beis Hamikdash when they sent her, they made a mum on the animal, which for the goyim was not a mum, but for us was a mum. We are more stringent on hilchas mumin. By a goy, only a mechusa eva is a problem. So they said, if someone's going to choose an animal which just has to make sure it's not missing any limbs, that you can do in 3 days. But for you to find a perfectly kosher animal, that would take 30 days, and therefore that's why you have 30 days. So from this Gemara, it sounds like the whole Muslim, the whole concept of 30 days before Pesach is just because of the Korban Pesach. Now, the fee that Tosis points out, the Chayra nowadays, there'd be no such thing. There'd be no 30 days before Pesach speaking about Chometz and Matzah. Everyone would work it out when it gets nearer the time. But because there's no Korban Pesach anymore, why do we need the whole preparation? Why does the Mechaber Paskin 30 days before Pesach we have to start learning Hilchos Pesach? And so this is based, he says, Enochanami, that the Ikka Takona, when they made the halacha of the 30 days, it was based on the Korban Pesach. And now that's in place, we ready to use it to learn all different dinim of Pesach. But he also points out that the difference between this Yom Tov and other Yom Tov. He says, by Sukkos, now this, I always try to tell to Rabbonim who are sitting in the Beis HaRoz when they paskan Dalad Minim Shailas. The Beis HaRoz says that on the Lulav and Esrog, what's so complicated? Roiv Lulavim and Esrogim are kosher. And therefore you don't need a lot to get a kosher Lulav and Esrog. You take one, the Pashas will be kosher. Masha Ein Kain, by Pesach, there's so many intricate dinim, and he points out, if you don't know these dinim, you'll be messed up. You'll come first day Pesach, and finally you'll notice that you've got the kasha, your pots, and you've got chomets in your house, and the matzahs weren't made the shema, and the matzahs have a kfula in it, what we'll see soon. And therefore, all these things, if you don't know it in advance, you'll end up not knowing Hilchos Pesach. Therefore, the tekana is 30 days for Pesach, we learn Hilchos Pesach. So I want to get a little bit involved in the sugya of chomets and matzah. I don't know if everyone knows, but the closest thing in everyone's house to chometz on Pesach. Which product in your house is most likely to be chometz on Pesach?
Matzah.
Matzah is by far the most dangerous thing you have in your house. And I'll explain a little bit why, what's going on. By the way, we will see a few different chumras that we have by matzah, by Pesach bichlal, that we don't have by other things. Because it's Issa Koros, it's very rare nowadays to have an Issa Chirush Issa Koros. Therefore, we're very, very machmeh and Hilchos Pesach more than other things. So what is chometz? What's chometz? So chometz is a food or substance derived from the five types of grain. Wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats, which have undergone chimutz. Now what is chimutz? The word chimutz, is fermentation or becoming sour. That's a literal translation of the word chometz. What does that mean? It's a chemical reaction which takes place when one of these five types of grain come into contact with a water or a similar moisture for a period of time. Now, it's only these five things have this medical reaction. Other things, even though which might be similar to chometz, do not have this chemical reaction. When these five grains normally touch water, they normally expand or swell a little bit. Now, it could be a tiny bit if it didn't do properly, but normally the characteristic of some kind of chometz is it swells a little bit. These five grains contain an enzyme which causes fermentation. Carbon dioxide forms, and that's why it gets swollen. Okay. Now, normally this takes 18 minutes. Normally the shiv that this takes is halakhically assumed to be 18 minutes. That's why everyone knows when you do a run of matzah baking, you have 18 minutes to get it ready. Now, if the water is warmer, the halakha is, and the matzias is, that it happens faster. Therefore, see later, a lot of care is taken that nothing in the process of making matzah should be warm. If it's warm, it can make this fermentation happen quicker. Now, therefore, we protect our wheat from moisture at all times. Now, the problem is, it's quite a hard thing to protect when it's in the field. Because when it's growing in the field, it normally, here, rains. And when it's going to rain, it's going to get wet. And suddenly you've got a problem of chometz before you started. Yeah, you're starting off on the wrong foot if you're using your chometz wheat to make the matzah. So on that, we'll see soon that it's not such a problem because we cut it before. We'll get there in a second. And that's where you see the word shmira mishas katsira. It means that they've been shomerit from becoming wet, even from shas katsira. Okay. And that's what shmura matzah is. Now, matzah is only made from these five grains, i.e. only something that can become chometz, you can make matzah into it. Therefore, even let's say we don't eat kidneys, yeah, rice and other types of grain, we don't eat, but as Sephardi does eat kidneys, they still can't make matzah from these kidneys, because matzah can only be made from something that could be chometz. Yeah, why that is, the Baalei Machshava have a lot to say, but that's not for now. Okay. Now, in a bakery normally, great care is taken to make this fermentation. There's a special room with carefully regulated temperatures to make it rise. A normal dough in a bakery will rise 3 to 4 times its original size in the 5 or 6 hours that they put the dough in the fermentation room. They also normally add a leavening agent, a baking powder and a starch to make it light and fluffy. Everyone knows that all the Pesach cakes are never really so light and fluffy. That's because we don't have this chometz agent inside. Now, before they harvest the wheat, they make sure it is dry. What we try and do, what we do is, we don't harvest the wheat when it's fully, fully ready. When it's already brown and dry, then we assume that this wheat no longer requires the soil to make it grow. It's already finished its growing process, and then, halakhically, it can become chometz. Then, if it would rain on such wheat, that rain would cause it to become chometz. Therefore, we make sure to cut it while it's white or green before it reaches the end stage. And then, even if it was wet when we cut it, it will still be okay because it's not yet in a position where it can become chometz. Now, such care is taken that it shouldn't become warm, that there'd be no chometz taking place here, no fermentation, that normally you mill a grain. You take it and you get rid of all the psoilis, all the bad things in the grain, you get rid of it. Yeah, the wheat germ and the hull bran, you don't want all this stuff there. Now, when you do that, it naturally becomes a little bit warm. The flour becomes warm. And halacha is that within 2 days of milling grain, you're not allowed to use it to make matzah. Because we assume there's still a rise in the temperature of the flour, and if the flour would then touch water, the chometz, the making it into chometz would become quicker, and therefore you wouldn't have 18 minutes, you'd only have less time. Okay, now a few halachos in the matzah. Now the matzah has to be hard when it comes out of the oven. Reason is, if it's soft, we're assuming it's not yet fully baked, and the process isn't over, and 18 minutes where it can still become chometz is not finished. There's something called kfulos. I don't know if you know about kfulos. Kfulos is when there's a fold in the matzah. Yeah, one big thing people go to chaburah, and they're very machme, not to have this in their matzah, is not to have matzah's kfulos. The reason is, because when you have a fold in the matzah, the hot air from the oven can't get everywhere in the matzah. And therefore, you're assuming there'll be one part of the matzah which never got fully baked, and therefore, the 18-minute process of that is not finished yet. It's still a process which could take place to become chometz, and therefore, it's a problem. Now, the ikar halacha is, if the kfula is like this, like a bridge, and there's nothing underneath the bridge, it's going to be okay. Because you assume the air, even though there's an air pocket there, the hot air still got underneath. The ikar problem is when there's a fold and it's touching one layer on top of the other one. Then you say that the hot air could not get there, and it's a problem. It's such a problem that the real machmirim are makpid, that when you see a kfula in the oven, they don't use the same device they use to take the matzahs out for this one, because they're scared that it's a chashash chometz, and therefore they try to use a different one to take it out. Now, agav, kfulos is not mamish chometz. Even though we're machmir not to have kfulos on Pesach, if you have a kfula and you find it after Pesach, you're allowed to eat it. It's not called chometz she'ovar ala Pesach. Now, even though we're saying that a kfula is not chometz, there's a halacha on Erev Pesach, that's from Ikar Din, you don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. The reason being, because you want to have the oven for the night, there should be a hecker between what eating by day or eating by night. Now, kfulos, we are still noyug not to eat on Erev Pesach. You don't come and say, ha, I'm such a brisker guy that I hold this kfulos in mamish chometz, and therefore I can go and eat it on Erev Pesach. That's not true. Agav, there's another shayla. Can you eat chometz dik Pesach on Erev Pesach? There also is a minig not to eat from Chodesh Nissan already, which we're moving down. Chometz dik matzah, correct. There also is a minig not to eat matzahs from Chodesh, and some people even say from Purim. Purim is only a minig from Bedaktikin. The Ikar minig brought down Mishabur is not to eat any matzah since Rosh Chodesh. Now, on this, the person discussed, can you eat chometz dik matzahs? Yeah? The matzahs are made all year round, yeah? Manischewitz, the name of the Manischewitz, make £37 million of matzah every single year. And it's all chometz matzah, yeah? It's not done 18 minutes. They're not screaming the Shem Mitzvah's matzah when they're doing it. It's chometz. Now, can you eat that before Pesach in the Bila Pesach? On that, the halacha is, on Erev Pesach, we say you cannot, but from Rosh Chodesh, we say you can. Agav, I was once in Kosher King, and unfortunately, there was someone there who was buying his Pesach order. And they were putting loads of matzah in the cart. And someone said to them, excuse me, you've got the wrong matzah. This is the chometz matzah. He said, no, I don't care about the heksher. It's fine, don't worry. Fine. But, yeah. Okay. I want to go on and discuss a bit about machine matzahs versus hand matzahs. So I want to go...
They shouldn't sell really chometz matzah.
They said in a separate section. It's in the chometz section. It's next to the bread. Yeah, you're right.
30 days before Pesach, they should forbid to sell
chometz. I hear that. By me, you've already pulled those. Because you're king, you have to really try and sort that. Okay. Yeah, they don't care about the guy. Don't care about the heksher, he said. He doesn't care about the heksher. Okay. Now, also... Another thing we do, again, showing how far we go not to make any heat in the process, is we draw our own water. It's called Mayim Shelonu, and we draw this water before we bake the matzahs, and we let this water sit in a metal, in something by itself for a bit of time, because we assume that the water can either from the rays of the sun or from naturally from underground, the water can get heat inside it, and therefore we don't want the water to be even a little bit hotter than normal, because that could make the chomet, the process happen quicker, and therefore it's called mayim shalonda, we draw it first, and matzah bakeries have huge tanks where they store the water they're going to use, because they need lots and lots of water, and all that sits there and doesn't get hot, and therefore that's the water we use. Again, we see how far we go not to get involved in the chomets to our matzahs. Now, until the middle of the 1700s, all matzah was handmade. Yeah, there was no machines, there was no electricity, no nothing. All matzahs were handmade. The first recorded case of a machine matzah is in Alsace, which is in France, in 1838, the first time we had a machine. Now, no one should get confused. The machines they had those days were highly primitive and have no shaykhus to the machines we have today. Well, this is a machine that made the dough and managed to knead it without needing the human exertion. But nowadays it's much more automated. We'll see. Now, the first big controversy arose in Krakow in 1857. Someone came to Krakow in 1857 and they had the very big excitement. We have a new machine. We brought it in from France. It's an amazing machine, and this machine can make your matzahs by itself. No need to work, no need to sweat, no need to all the hard work. We have a machine matzahs. And there was huge controversy.
Were they electric? What were they?
Nah, then they weren't. There was no electricity in those days.
So what do they have?
It was like a device that would be...
Kids going
a device which rolled it for you, and no need to get your hands dirty. Okay. So all the Gedolim of the time waded into this controversy. It was a huge action. The Divrei Chaim, my grandfather, the Sholem Meshiv, the Aruch Haner, the Tzav Sofer, all have long tshuvas either for or against this new mussar of machine matzahs. Now I want to, a little bit in the time remaining, discuss what the points of controversy were. Now the first point of controversy, which is the most obvious point of controversy, is the halacha in the Mechaber in Simon Tov Samach. The Mechaber says, Ein loshin matzas mitzvah, you can't knead matzah mitzvah, v'loi oifin oisen, you can't bake it, al yodei ein yehudi, by a goy, v'loi al yodei cheresh shaytav kotten. Or a child, the cheresh shaytav kotten, is not allowed to be in charge of the matzah making process. And it says in the Mishaburah, even if there's a godl oimid al gabov, even if there's an old person watching and making sure everything's done, no good. A child or a goy is not allowed to make the matzahs. And Mishaburah says, why? The chsiv, and it means that you need someone to be shomer it, and you need to be niskaven l'shem matzah mitzvah. And therefore, because you need to have kavon l'shem mitzvah, a goy and a kotten or a shoyter are unable to have this kavon l'shem mitzvah, and therefore they are not allowed. So came the shomer meshiv, came all the poskim, said, whoa, very nice, you've got this amazing machine that you press play, and your matzahs come out, well, not exactly those days, but now they come out like that. But you've got a problem, it's not done l'shem matzah, and therefore it's no good. Oh, that's the way out. The way out is the Chaznish already said that other people that the Mafsham, that if the initial thing, the initial pu'ullah, the initial action the person was doing was the Shem Mitzvah's Matzah, anything that happened afterwards was just a hemshech of that, and therefore it would be okay. But that was the first reason why the postgame in those days were not happy, was because it was not, it was a chasaron in Lishma.
Correct.
Very good. That's a good point. I saw it. The Shema only problem is the Seder. For the rest of Pesach, it says the Mishmur brings down that Medaktaking or Machbid of the whole Pesach Shema. But yeah, correct. Okay. Now, another big issue was, which is a real issue even to nowadays, is that the machines are much harder to clean. If all you have is a rolling pin, yeah, and everything else is you just make sure the rolling pin's clean, and you're good to go. How the machines are very intricate, loads of little parts, loads of little things, and if there's any bit of matzah that gets stuck in the machine, then they finish one round, 80 minutes, everyone breathes a sigh of relief, and they ready to start the next one, they haven't realized that there's a bit of matzah stuck in the machine, and that, a bit of dough, and that flour is going to come out, or that dough is going to come out in the next batch, and you're putting chomets gomor into your matzahs. That was a big problem in the olden days. Now that problem has largely been negated nowadays because of the quality of the machinery we have now, and it's all taken apart, it's all maneuverable, and you can clean everything always by yourself. I am part of a chabura that make machine matzahs, quite unheard of thing, but the chabura, a lot that we do, the hour we spend before we start baking, is just cleaning the machine, making sure with toothpicks, making sure there's nothing there before. My grandfather, Rav Dunas Ben Levacha, actually lost a few fingers while cleaning the machines, because he wanted to clean them while they were turning, because he was scared that if they're not moving while they're cleaning them, maybe there'll be something in some crevice something he can't find. So I remember always shaking his hands, always a traumatic experience, him missing a few fingers, the tops of the fingers, because when he cleaned the machine, because he had to make sure there was nothing there. Okay.
The matzahs were flashing.
Yeah. Okay, so now again, the argument.
Can you tell us who do you supervise for?
No. I supervised for some total of 18 minutes. It produced a sum total of 200 kilo of matzah, and it was given out to all the people I went with.
Where, in the
Rakuzos factory? No, it's only good. Okay. Now, another time. We mentioned before that we're very careful there should be no heat in the whole process. Yeah, any heat, though if the water's hot, if the flour's hot, you know, even they do different parts of the process in different rooms. Halakhically, it has to be different rooms in the process because the oven shouldn't be in the same room as where they make it because the heat from the oven, we're very careful there should be no heat. So those days, they planned that they have a long matzah, a long roll of dough, and it's going on a conveyor belt into the oven. So even though as it enters the oven, you have a slicer cutting it into the side it's supposed to be, but the maisa, you have connected this long thing, and it's very hot over there, and the dough over here will already maybe start heating up, and therefore you already have a problem that part of this dough is hot, and it's not in the oven yet, it's just getting hot 20 seconds before it hits the oven, perhaps that could cause chomets. So now there's not a problem. You ever go to the factory, you'll see.
The whole process doesn't take 18 minutes, then what's the problem?
No, but it says heat involved, it can be quicker than 18 minutes. That's why we must be that it shouldn't be that. Mayim Shalonu is, even though we're doing 18 minutes, we don't want to have warm water, because then chomets can take place quicker. It's only on the.
So wait, it can be quicker than the whole process, quicker than 18 minutes?
Yeah, it can become chomets, in a mashu, if there's heat involved. That's why we make everything no heat involved. Yeah. But then it's a separate room. It's a separate part of the room. It's not when they're rolling out. Not next to oven. So here you have the conveyor belt going in. You already have heated up the matzah before going in the oven. Perhaps that can cause problem. Now there's not a problem because they have quite far down the line already. They're cutting it way before the oven. Therefore, it never is one dough where half is in the oven and half is out of the oven. The time it hits anywhere near the oven, they're already individual matzahs. And therefore, it's okay, it's not connected at all, therefore there's no reason to believe that it would heat it up. Okay. Now, so, the Maaser, the Divrei Chaim wrote a very sharp tshuva about this. He was very angry about machine matzahs. They wrote, Chodosh Osam in HaTorah. There was a time when they were fighting with reform. They're worried that, you know, if they start doing this, who knows where it would end. Maybe we'll stop eating potato kegel on Friday night. Lots of bad things could happen from instituting the machine matzah. So the Divrei Chaim writes that it's Chometz Gomor. He writes that it's Chometz Gomor, and he's not saying the reason why. Because the Gemara, about machine matzahs, Mashiach Chomet, and there's a Makori, the Gemara Zohar around the Aflamed Dalet, is Mavua, that when Chazal make a Takona, they sometimes prefer not to disclose the reason why. But to say the reason why, all the clever dicks will say, you think that's why? I know that it's not true what they said, and therefore it should be Mutter. Yeah. So the Gemara.
I want to share a while ago, and it's interesting, I kind of said that a lot of the people, they made their livelihood
all
the way around.
Can you comment to that? Next point. I saw brought down that a lot of almanas, a lot of, even now in Israel, there's lots of ladies involved in the hand-baking process. A lot of, normally it's older Sephardi ladies, they're always there, and therefore, some people said the reason why they kind of wanted to usher it, and he wrote Chomets Gomor, wasn't because he had a real taina against the process. No, it was that there were ladies and almanas and poor people who made their living by rolling out the matzah by hand, and therefore, if you make a machine, they'll all lose their jobs. And therefore, the Migdamel, he was a god of Ladoyah, he wanted to make an institution, that shouldn't happen, and therefore.
That's a bit of a strange thing to say.
Why?
But this would be.
He worried about the panos of Klai as well. It's a beautiful thing to say.
Not
against halacha. He said, don't institute a new thing because everyone will lose the panos.
So he said, Chomets Gomor.
To try and make sure he wouldn't. I don't think he went and killed anyone for eating it. I think he didn't want people to buy it. Okay. I'm saying what they say in this. Okay. Now, other people say, Rishloim Klugel, some of them said that the machine, maybe the heat that the machine itself would give off, when it's done by machine, it could be more friction than done by hand. You have no raya that the heat of the machine doesn't make chemicals. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but you don't know. We know that when you're rolling out by hand, that's okay. Because that's what they did since Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo Klugel said, who said that this would be okay? Okay. By the way, my father, the first year he came to the Seder table, he sat by his father-in-law, Mr. Stern. And sitting at the table with Mr. Stern's mother-in-law, Mrs. Freshwater. Mrs. Freshwater was a great-granddaughter of the Divrei Chaim, three different ways. And she was brought up knowing that it's Chomets Gomor. Okay. And everything went smoothly until they uncovered the matzahs the first time. And suddenly there was a yelp, a scream from down the table. And everyone thought, oh no, what happened to Mrs. Freshwater? Is she okay? And she was screaming Chomets. Because she had been brought up in a house that there's no difference in machine matzahs and bread. And suddenly, in the Seder plate, could you imagine, there was chametz. And Shemar said that from then on, always had to hide his matzahs from her, because Shemar thought it was chametz gomer. Okay. I saw another reason, an interesting reason why perhaps it's no good. Some people say the problem is because the minig of Yisrael was to have round matzahs. And by a machine, it's impossible to make round matzahs. Therefore, we're going against the minig of Yisrael, the minig was to make round, and therefore we don't do square. That's all that one person brought down. Someone told me now that you ever see such a thing?
Waste, that's all.
Oh, so the mice they don't. Therefore, that's a reason not to do it. Okay. Now, a very important thing. This is the most important thing of the whole shiur. If you remember nothing of the whole shiur, remember this. We said before that the closest thing you have in your house to chometz is going to be matzah. Yeah, it needs the most making sure that it doesn't become chometz. Because again, all other things in your house are not made from products that can become chometz. So the only thing in your house from the Chumash Min Dagon you have is matzah. Now, therefore, when people buy products for Pesach, yeah, we're not going into that, meaning some people don't buy any product, but people who buy products have to be very, very careful when buying any product that contains matzah meal. Because matzah meal is made from matzah. Therefore, this matzah meal is something that could become chometz. Therefore, you have to be very... If you do bad matzah, if you don't make kosher matzahs, if you're not careful to make your matzahs like you are careful to make your matzahs for your Seder, if this matzah meal doesn't have enough care put into it, it can be chometz. It can be over 80 minutes if you got heated up, whatever the problem is. You didn't clean the machine. Therefore, people often, they spend hundreds of pounds getting the most mahudadik matzahs, but they buy products which have matzah meal in them, which are rubbish echsherim, and therefore, it's a real, it's a real shayla of, the biggest shayla of chometz is matzah, and therefore, people should please take a lot of care when buying their matzah meal product that has a very top hechsher, because that's a real chashash. One more thing, I'll end off an interesting point, that this, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the minigas we say, the bracha on the ilonis, on the trees. Now, this year, Rosh Chodesh is on the Shabbos. There is a fascinating Kafachayim who says that we do not make the bracha on Ilonis on Shabbos. He brings down a few reasons. First, he asks halacha. Firstly, he says, because Shema Yitzhashu, maybe you'll take off the blossom. On that, they go to town, there's rives, you don't say Shachashash. The second reason is, he says that everyone knows that when you make the bracha on Ilonis, you're metakan and tzitzis, and you separate the clippers from the tree. And he says, that is an issa boire. On Shabbos, you can't do boire. And therefore, it's also due on Shabbos. Therefore, the minig taka is, Api Kabbalah Zikha, we don't do the bracha on the trees on Shabbos. I saw the Pesel Chokma says, Ein zeh doime le boire sheba mishkon. So this is not really the mishkon. All boire is also because the mishkon did it. But that's what he says. Therefore, the taka of the minig is, we don't do the bracha trees on Shabbos, only on Sunday. Shkoich, everyone for listening, a kosher and Pesach.